Testing? Okay, great. Yeah, Yukari, did you play piano before you came to church? Okay. Hi. Did you play?
Like when I was kids, like 20 years ago.
Oh, a long time ago.
But because of God, I started to
learn
how to play.
Yeah. Yeah, God planted the seed a long time ago. Now he's harvesting the fruit. Praise God. Yeah, maybe in Yamaguchi you'll play piano. I don't know, worship leader. Hallelujah. All right, open your Bible to John chapter 6. And yeah, it's a short passage. I love it. It's the story of Jesus walking on the water. So powerful. So let's read it together. It's on your screen and on also in your bulletin. But just to be safe, let's read, well, in your bulletin, hopefully it's the same translation, NIV 2011. Or yeah. So anyways, I'll read from verse 16, and please join me at verse 20 and 21. So John chapter 6, verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. Let's read together. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The very words of God. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. So, yeah, walking on water, just amazing verse. And as you know, we read there in the text, it says, "It is I, don't be afraid." And the title of our sermon today is "Don't Be Afraid, I Am." I'll explain that in just a moment. The key word is storm, the storm. And my first weekend in Hiroshima in 1999, September, some of you know that in Japan, typhoon season, there are two typhoon seasons in 1 year. It's from June, late June, kind of early July. And then when that's finished, summer has started. And then there's typhoon season number two, which is in September. And in September, there's typhoons, and then that means summer is finished, right? Typically. So I came in September 1999, and I had no idea about Japanese typhoon season, and also I had no Japanese language skill. So one day I just dressed up to go to work, and I went outside my apartment. There's nobody driving, no cars, which is strange because I used to live near the Peace Park downtown. And then I went to my my city tram, my shiden stop, Honkawa Cho. And there's nobody on the street, no streetcar. The wind is blowing. And I'm, 22 years old, thinking, what? This is strange. It's Monday afternoon and there's no cars, no streetcar. I'm waiting 15, 20 minutes and what's going on? Nobody's walking on the street and there's wind, just windy. What's happening? And I said, okay, I'll just walk to work. So I walked to my office and they said, what are you doing here? Don't you know there's a typhoon? I said, what's a typhoon? And they said, oh, it's a big storm. And it turned out that that typhoon that year was a very strong one in Hiroshima, like a record strength typhoon. There's the cranes in Kure that, in the shipyards that unload the ships from the cargo, And two of the cranes were blown over by the wind, and there was lots of damage and destruction just from the typhoon. So, some of you've probably experienced heavy storms, maybe here in Japan or in your home country. And storms are, they are in our life for three reasons. There's the three things that they do. First is they just destroy. So storms are an image of chaos, destruction. And there's order in our life, in our world, and then the storm says, not today, and it destroys the order. It destroys the systems, buildings and cranes and economies. But it's not just the outside world that has storms. There's storms in our life that are trying to take our minds and bring chaos and disorder. And I don't know about you, I'm 46, but sometimes I feel that I'm just fighting to keep order in my mind, in my heart. I could feel chaos trying to come and throw me off of my way of thinking that's just barely sane and just normal. And trying to drive me crazy. No? I'm the only one? Okay, fine. We'll just move on. And then the second thing that storms do is not only bring destruction and chaos, but they bring delay. And they are a kind of boundary, or they block progress in your life. So you're trying to accomplish something. You want to achieve a goal, or you want to do something with life, and you're moving in the direction, and then the storm comes and says, no, not today. And you have to go under the roof, you have to go under a shelter, you have to hide, because the storm says, you cannot go this way. This is my way. And that's what the storm does. It blocks your progress. It delays your destiny or your destination. And then the third thing that the storm does is it not only brings chaos and disorder and delay, but it brings death. Storms threaten you. You could die. Things can fall on you. You can be blown away. Today is March 12th. You know in Japan what happened in March 11th. It's called 3/11 in Japan. The big typhoon that happened, there was an earthquake and then a big tidal wave that came and destroyed an entire city in East Japan. And they killed many people. And that's what storms do. They bring death, destruction. And so that's what we're dealing with in life. Things that are killing us, trying to destroy us, or just delaying our progress in life. And the Bible has so much to teach us about how to go through the storm, and how not to fear the storm, and also who is the Lord of the storm. The Bible is teaching us there is a greater power a greater being. That it's, he's not afraid of the storm. He is in control of the storm. And so Jesus is showing us about himself that we need so that we can go through the storm instead of running from it in fear. So, three things that he's teaching us about holy love, about true power, and then about discipleship. That's what it means that he is the Lord of the storm. So, verse 19 and 20, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, crazy, and they were frightened. They were frightened. So, they were not frightened when the storm came. I want you to understand that. It doesn't say that they were frightened because of the wind and the waves. That's a different story. There's another story where Jesus is already in the boat. He's sleeping. The storm comes, and they are frightened that they would die. In this story, the storm comes. They're rowing their boat, trying to get out of the storm. And then what happens? Jesus comes walking toward the boat on the water, and they see him, and what happens? Nani kore? Yure da. It's a ghost. And they're frightened not by the outside, but they're frightened by what's happening on the inside. They're seeing something. They're not frightened by natural event, they're frightened by the supernatural occurrence. They know this is not natural. This, we are meeting something that is not in the natural physical world. And so here's what happens. This is what humans do. We encounter or we meet the supernatural, the spiritual. And there's a response or reaction. It's, what's happening? I don't know. And there's fear. They're frightened. And that is what it means to meet God. When you are meeting God, you are meeting someone that's not natural, but supernatural. Not physical, but metaphysical. And there's a response within our hearts, our spirits, that's frightened, that's terrified. And it takes God to say, relax. It's me. I am. Now, we have to understand I am. Because in your translation in English, it says, it is I, right? But he does not say that. He says, I am. Don't be afraid. Why? Is because Greek is a strange language? No. He is showing us something very interesting. So what happens is there was another man a long time ago named Moses. He goes up the mountain. He sees a fire. And out of the fire, God speaks to him, and he says, Moses, take off your shoes. This is a holy place. I will tell you my name. And God says, my name is Yahweh. I am. Not I was. Not I will be. I am, which means I will never change. I don't change. I don't need to change. Not only that, I am means I don't depend on anything. Nothing made me. I'm the beginning. I am the end. I am that I am. That's Yahweh. That's what it means. And so In the fire, Moses understands God, who God is. And now, on the water, Jesus shows his disciples who he is. I am. The God that Moses met on the mountain is the God walking on the water. That's what Jesus is saying. And the disciples need to understand. The Holy One on the mountain who met Moses is the Holy One on the water coming to them on a boat. But in our hearts, we're frightened. Why? Because it's like, you know, my daughter, she says, Daddy, gucha gucha ni shite kure. Come tickle me. She wants me to tickle her. She loves it. But when I'm tickling her, what does she do? Yeah, get away, right? You want me to tickle you, but when I tickle you, you want to get away. Now, God is much more profound. We want the holiness. We want the love, the power, the goodness, the grace of God, right? But when the holiness comes, we're afraid. We want to leave. It's some strange thing in our heart. Why? Because there's two sides to our souls. Our hearts have like a coin, like two sides. On the one side, we were made in the Garden of Eden. We were made to walk with God daily, to be in his presence. It's like, you know, when a moth is going to the light, that's us and God. We want, like the moth wants the light, the human wants God. Like the hunger wants food, the human wants God. Like the bee wants the flower, the heart is going to God. We're made, that's the one side of our soul. We desire God. But on the other side of our soul, what happens? We want freedom. We want control. We want to be our own creator. We want to be our own God. You know, everything in technology today, whether it's on your phone, on your computer, or in your home, on your TV, it's all about you make your reality. You control your image. You control your profile. And you control your timeline, your algorithm. It's all about catering to your desires. Because human beings want control. We want freedom. And so God says, all right, you want your control. If that's the case, you can't have me. Because I'm holy. My holiness is going to have a fight with your freedom. Because you want it your way. You see, there was a prophet named Isaiah. In Isaiah, he says, God, I want to be in your presence. I go to your temple. I'm praying. And God opens his presence to Isaiah. And what does Isaiah do? Ah! Oh, I should die. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. He wanted God. But when God came, he thought, I'm dead. He knows he has sin. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus comes and says, Peter, throw your net. Peter throws his net. He catches so much fish. The boat is sinking. There's so much fish he's caught. Now, he does not need to catch any more fish for years. He has a lifetime of fish. God has come into his life. What does he do? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful. Arigato gozaimasu. No, he doesn't do that. When Peter meets Jesus after getting the blessing of holiness, Peter says what? Please, go away from me. I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man. Peter wanted God, but when God came, he said, I can't be in this presence. That is the I am. That's the holiness. Now, so here's the problem with humans. We want God's blessing, but we also want control. So we can't live with God, but we can't live without God. What do? We have to understand. We have to understand. The only one who can take us out of ourself towards the destination, towards the goal, is the Holy One, is the I Am. That's the only way. The only way our hearts can be healed from sin and guilt and shame is when the Holy One comes and says, yeah, okay. I'll tell you why it's hard for people to come to church every week. I'll tell you why it's hard for people to come and be a Christian faithfully. Because they're afraid. They're afraid that if they give their life to God, God will say, this has to stop. This needs to go. Or they're afraid that God will ask them to do something that they can't do. So they can't control. They can't control God. They can't control. And so they're not faithful. But the problem is they want God so badly. But here's the thing. Any relationship, if you want a relationship that's faithful and that will last forever, you want love. And God is the holy God who gives love and says, look, I'll take you as you are, but I love you too much to let you stay the way you are. I love you. You need to grow. You need to become stronger. You need to get rid of sin. You need to become holy as I am holy. And it's my holy love. If you take me into your boat, I will take you to the place you need to go, that you want to go. So Jesus is teaching us, I am. I am the one you need to get in the boat. But also, Jesus is teaching us about true power. Psalm chapter 29. Oh, it's an amazing psalm. Here it goes, the voice of the Lord. The Lord is Yahweh. The Lord is I am. The voice of I am is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. I am over many waters. The voice of I am is powerful. The voice of I am is full of majesty. The voice of I am flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of I am breaks the cedars. I am sits enthroned over the flood. I am sits enthroned as king forever. When Jesus comes to the boat, he says, I am that God. You don't have to be afraid. The power that this hurricane has, I'm lending that power. So for me, a typhoon, what's a typhoon? It's just a little dirty drop in the bucket. I'm the one who controls this storm. So don't be afraid. I am. Now, please look. There's the storm outside that's happening. But there's a storm inside the disciples. They are afraid, right? Jesus says, I control both the storm outside and I control the storm inside. There's no need to be afraid of that storm. There's no need to be afraid of this storm. I am in control. I made it. Listen, please, don't just believe that Jesus walked on water. Don't believe that. If that's all you believe, it's nothing. You have to understand the power of Jesus. You don't look at Jesus' power and just believe it. You look through Jesus' power. And you look at everything else through the power of Jesus. I made all this. I can keep it or I can let it go. Jesus is saying, I am that God. So, the final thing. What's crazy is, on Wednesday this week, the Miyajima Bible study studied the same story. Yeah. Did you go? No, Grace, did you go? Yeah. They studied Matthew chapter 14. And the same story is in Matthew chapter 6. Now, in the story in Mark and in the story in Matthew, it's very clear. Jesus knew the storm was coming. It says Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him. Jesus says, okay, everyone, we just had a big meal. 5,000 people, 6 loaves of bread. Everybody gets fed. And it's wonderful. And then Jesus says, I'll tell you what, disciples, you get in the boat. You go ahead. I'll dismiss the 5,000 people. He knew they were going into a storm. Why would you do that, Jesus? Why would you let me go right into something that will threaten me, something that destroys, something that makes me go crazy? Because Jesus is Lord of the storm, it means if he is your Savior, you have to understand how he saves you. So what do I mean? Jesus let you go into the storm because he wanted to show you that you don't save yourself. I want you to have an image, the image of a raft. I have a picture there. This is all of us, all the time. If you're non-Christian, if you're a Christian, all of us have this. The things that we make in our lives to get us where we want to go. Our education, our achievements, our wealth, our status, our profile, our image, our relationships. That's this. And what's nice about this is that we can be the captain. We're in control. There's nobody else. It's so small. But let the storm come. Let the wind blow just a little bit. Let the waves take you up and down just a little bit, and this becomes nothing. Jesus wants to take us out of the raft and onto this aircraft carrier. The problem is when we go to the aircraft carrier, we are not the captain. We have to be a part of the crew. We have to serve. We have to work. We're not the one taking the ship where we want to go. We're not in control. But Jesus is saying, you're going to die on the life raft. If you keep trying to make everything about your education, what you know, I'll bring the storm of greater knowledge. I'll bring the storm of someone who knows more than you. If your life raft is your relationship, if it's romance or true love, I'll bring the storm of loneliness, of no dates, of rejection. Because you need to see that's your life raft, and you're relying on that. If your life raft is your image that you want everybody to see, that you have it together, you're a Christian, and so you're fine, everything's just fine, okay? You're doing all that you have, you know, you don't need anybody's help, your independence, God will bring the storm of scandal and shame and guilt. And so God brings the storm so he can show us, this was my life raft. This was what I was putting my trust in. This is what I thought I could control. Because he loves you, and he's saying, you need to get off of the life raft and get onto me. Get onto me. I will save you. And when the storm comes, nothing is going to sink this. You're going to go through life, through the ups, the downs, the winds, the left, and you won't sink because you're not relying on anything else but I am. Jesus wants to show you who he is. That's why you have to go through the storm. So, finally, last thing. I want you to understand. I told you about the story before where they're on the boat, the storm comes, Jesus is sleeping, right? Now, some of you know this story. They're in the boat, Jesus is sleeping, the storm comes, they're panicking. Do you know what they do? They wake up Jesus, right? What does Jesus do? He talks to the storm. Peace, be still. And the storm stops, right? Okay? In this story, he doesn't let the storm stop. He lets the storm happen. And instead of stopping the storm, he goes into the storm with them. So let's understand something about Jesus Christ. Sometimes he'll be so kind to you. He'll come and you say, God, I can't believe this. It's crazy. I need you. Help me. And what does he do? He says, peace, be still. He calms the storm. Thank you, Jesus. That is 90% of the testimonies. But then there's other times where Jesus says, I'm not going to stop the storm. I'm going to get into the storm with you. I'm going to get into the boat. We'll be together in the storm. Do you see that? So you are his disciple. You have to learn what he's teaching you. You need comfort, and you need grace, and you need peace. Sometimes he says, yes, peace, be still. And he calms down the storm. Thank you. Whew, I need. And then there's sometimes he says, I need you to be stronger. I need you to be more mature. I want you to grow up in faith. I want you to look at that storm and not try to run away from it, but I want you to take me into your boat and let's go through it together. And here's the good news. You go through it. You're with Jesus. And you look at other storms coming up and you say, Lord Jesus, whether you take me through that storm or whether you allow me to get, you know, for it to just calm down, I'll trust you more. I know I can get through it because I have more of you. And not only that, you're with other disciples, and you're teaching them, and you're leading them, and you're showing them, and you have more grace, and you have more wisdom, and you can help them. You have more empathy in your heart. So now here's you. You're stronger and you're bolder, but also you're more humble and you're more gentle. You see that? You're wiser, and you have more insight, but at the same time, you have greater love and compassion. Why? Because Jesus took you through the storm. And he shows you, I am. Don't be afraid. Why? How does he do that? It's the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he went through the storm of God's judgment. Yeah. God was putting him through hell. Why? So that through Jesus Christ, we can get through the storm. So we go to the cross. We go to Jesus crucified. And we thank him that he took the storm. And that because he went through the storm, we can go through the storm. Listen, Jesus suffered not so that you can avoid suffering. Jesus suffered so that when you and I suffer, we can be more like him. Greater glory, greater power, greater grace. That's why he suffered. And so we follow him. We take up our cross. We deny ourselves. We repent of our sin. We repent of our self-control, our pride. And we get into the boat with Jesus Christ. Come. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Come into the boat. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us, please, not just to believe, but to experience and to trust, not just to know that Jesus walks on water, but help us, Lord, to see the storms and to walk with Jesus through them. Help us, Lord God, to have faith in the Son of God, who is the I Am. This is our prayer in his name. Amen.